Hi guys, welcome back to the lineup. I'm just letting you guys know that this, like anything else in 2020, was done over Zoom. Oh wait, it's 2021 now, but you get the idea. It's all the same. Just keep in mind and bear with me that this is done from my college apartment with one microphone, one output, and questionable Wi-Fi. Definitely don't have the wires to shift an input or change a gear or whatever you do in technology, but I think Taylor Cummings is about to drop a lot of great stuff that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, you're gonna be able to relate to. And I'm really excited about it, so let's get this show on the road. Welcome back to the lineup.
Thank you so much for meeting with me. I was really excited to do this one because as anyone who's ever played lacrosse, heard of lacrosse, knows anything about lacrosse, Taylor Cummings is the face of lacrosse. She is an icon in the sport. I could go on about like how she plays, the accolades she has, a three-time Towerton winner, a USA player, a two-time World Cup champion.
World Cup and one.
All of the above. Literally, if you have an award, like, if you can name an award, Taylor's won it. Like, she is so good at what she does. And I'm really excited just to talk about your journey and how you got to where you are now and what you're up to now after post. Oh, and also she's a Terp alum. You love to talk to the Terp alum. So that's also exciting. So I'm excited to meet with you. So thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me. Super excited you're doing this and love chatting with the Terp anytime I can get.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. So I wanted to just dive right into it. And I know you're very open about your journey with eating and with how your body image shaped you as a player and you as a person and just your journey with that. I'm really interested about that.
Yeah. So I haven't really started talking about this till after I graduated. It was definitely a tough time, particularly in college with eating and exercise and finding that balance. And I feel like for me, it was kind of like a roller coaster ride throughout my 4 years at Maryland. I was so fortunate to have such an amazing support system, both with my family and my friends away from school, as well as my coaches and my teammates there. And I think if I hadn't have had them, things would have been a lot worse for me. But I guess, you know, when you go into college freshman year, I spent that whole summer trying to lift as much as I could and be as strong and as fit as I could. And my body definitely changed. And I was I'm somebody who puts on muscle really quickly. And I was pretty bulky from where I had been, you know, in June to when I arrived on campus in September. And then, you know, you're lifting more, you're running more, you're also eating at dining hall, you have all of this free time to be with your teammates. And a lot of that is around either doing things on the weekends with each other or, you know, going out on a Wednesday night to Chipotle or Stamp or whatnot. And so I really struggled with finding that balance of needing to make sure that while I was practicing, I also would need to continue to have that fitness on the back end as well. Like practice wasn't enough. And so that was difficult where I started to gain weight, not just muscle, but, you know, other weight and D-hall weight and stamp student union weight and fed weight. I was starting and I was playing as a freshman. So I thought everything was fine, but I definitely wasn't playing up to like my standard. And, I remember vividly going to Deep Creek for winter break and I couldn't fit my ski pants anymore. And that was the moment that I was like, okay, you know, putting on muscle is great. It's needed. I was able to kind of compartmentalize that, but what are the choices I'm making outside of practice and lift that I could use to improve my performance and also just feel better? I was feeling sluggish. I was not feeling great about myself when I looked in the mirror. And so I was able to kind of make that switch and just eat healthier, run outside of practice when I needed to, and kind of find that balance. And then, you know, sophomore year was great for me. We won the national championship. We won ACC championship. I was playing. I felt super confident with my friends and our team. And then right after my sophomore year is when I won the Torton for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that,
which is crazy, by the way, like, again, anyone who knows lacrosse, like, that's insane. Like, you're like, what, 18 years old at that point?
Like, yeah, young. I think I won it before my 19th birthday. So
I just like, yeah, think about what I was doing when I was a sophomore and like, what that's just insane. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's fine. So yeah, so then, you know, that was the first summer that I realized, like, one, you've made it to like every peak that you wanted. You know, you wanted to win an ACC championship, you wanted to win a national championship. We'd won that. And then you had this cherry on top of winning to Wharton, which you never expected, but now that's there. And now that's kind of the standard. And so that was tough. And then I started to realize how visible I was to the public. You know, at that time, Instagram was getting, you know, really hot, and you had kids coming to games and taking pictures at Maryland camp, and you were getting posted everywhere in your magazines and whatnot. And I started to kind of realize, like, I'm now being seen by a lot more people than just, you know, the couple of 100,000, whatever it is, fans that are at Maryland. And I think that made a shift for me where I didn't make a conscious decision, but I really started to feel like, okay, I need to not only play well, but I now have to be looking good because I'm in, you know, magazines and getting photos of.
Were you just feeling so much pressure?
Yeah. You know, I think for me, once we'd reached that pinnacle of what we wanted, that was the kind of the standard. Like, if we didn't win a national championship, if we didn't win our conference, if I didn't win the Torton, like, everyone's going to be like, oh, they suck. Yeah. And, you know, for me, I was like, okay, I need to be super fit. Like, that's where my mind went. And so I went not only crazy with my workouts, where I was doing 2 to 3 workouts a day, you know, trying to be as fit as possible for the season to make sure we could play and reach that again, spring of sophomore year, summer to that winter, I made a really drastic change the other way, where I was probably eating maybe 500 calories a day, maybe working out 3 times a day.
A donut.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like minimal. It was all healthy. You know, I was eating but I wasn't eating nearly enough for how much I was working out. I don't usually eat breakfast anyway. I'm not a huge breakfast eater. Yeah. But I would probably not eat until 4 or 5. And if that, I would be like grilled chicken and a couple of things of rice. And so it was just like a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And for me, what was the worst part is that people would start being like, oh, Taylor, you look really skinny. You look really good. And that was like that positive affirmation that I was doing something right, even though they had no idea what was going on the back end.
Right.
And then it got to the point where people started to be like, okay, she's losing a lot of weight. I also just wasn't like nice. I wasn't happy. Like, yeah. I was just not
trained,
a great
probably
teammate or person. And I say, I was like hangry. Like, I was hungry
all
and
the
angry
time.
And like
anybody who
all
knows
the time
knows and that if so, I was hangry, oh my gosh, if I was hangry all the time, people would like, I'm the worst hangry. So I can't imagine people would hate me.
It was a really tough time. And then I got through fall, and fall was fine. It wasn't the best I'd ever done. It wasn't the worst I'd ever done, but it definitely wasn't up to national championship, supposed to win the Wharton level of play. And I think Kathy and Kenneth and Caitlin noticed, and they tried to, and you had teammates going into them and talking to them about it. And you had them trying to be like, is everything okay? What's going on? And I think for me, that turned into real, like, me being super defensive and being like, everything's fine. What are you talking about? Like, I'm totally fine. And then after that call, or after that, you know, end of fall meeting with the coaches, that's where I sat down and was like, crap, like, I'm going to not only be unhappy in my skin, but we're not going to win. We're not going to do the things that, you know, we want to do. And I don't want to lose that. And I don't want to be unhappy. And I like, because on the field, that's where I felt the best version of myself.
Right.
And not having that ability to do the things we wanted to do, and knowing that I was playing a direct role in how I was playing, but also how the team was playing, that kind of was that switch for me. Mm-hmm. And so from like Christmas break on, I had to make like a huge mental shift in the way that I approached food and exercise. Mm-hmm. So I would start writing down everything I ate and making sure I was eating enough, mm-hmm. and then working on limiting my workouts to one a day. And so it took a lot of effort to kind of get back into that. Cause not only was I like not healthy, like I was crushing my body. Like there was, it just wasn't a good mix. And then I think the biggest shift for me was mentally, one, allowing myself to eat. Mm-hmm. That was tough. And then two, not punishing myself for eating was tough too. So having to make that like, you need this, food is fuel, it's positive, it's going to help you do the things you want to do. Exercise is also positive, it's going to help the things you want to do. But just because you eat doesn't mean you can exercise. And also just because you exercise doesn't mean you can go shovel a million things in your mouth too. Right. So just trying to like find that balance was something I worked on pretty much that whole season. And I'm so lucky that I had such great friends, both on campus and away, and my family. And then, you know, I met Greg. And at that point I had come out of I was also during this whole thing in the mix of like a really weird relationship. And to have then somebody who accepted me for me and let me be myself and saw that like who I was enough was so helpful to me. And I don't think I realized it then. I think, you know, as we were now engaged and you're thinking back to that time, like it was so pivotal to have such an amazing support system, not only from him, but for my friends and family at that point. So
I definitely want to talk about your engagement. We're absolutely getting to that. So I don't act like I'm going to curb it because I'm not. I'm excited to talk about that. But also I like that you talked about the mental part of just food itself, because I feel like when people go through things like that, they look in the mirror and it's obviously a mental thing when your body starts to shift again. But as an athlete, it's shifting in a healthy direction. And it's doing, like you're saying, it's fueling you in a way that like it needs to be fueled. Your body is literally so powerful that it needs that fuel. And it needs like love, like any other thing that you like care about. But I think that just you look at food and it just becomes a mental thing. It's a mental battle that like, okay, this is going to be good for me. I think that's really important that you touched on that, because a lot of people only see the mental battle in the mirror, but it starts literally right in front of you.
Exactly. And, you know, I think, you know, it's just so like we need it. And it's making that mental switch from food is like needed and necessary and your fuel to being like something, as opposed to saying like it's something that like curbs my appetite or like keeps me from, you know, starving, I think is huge. And I'm really, you know, thankful I was able to kind of make that switch. And I think the other thing is like knowing your body is going to change when you're working out. So after I graduated, I didn't lift for like a year and a half. I basically in that 2017 World Cup was running off of the muscle that Mike Szymborski had developed in fall of 2015 at that point. And then I realized, you know, as I'm getting older, I need to keep up with my strength and conditioning and my agility. So I started to go to Jay Dyer and I was starting to gain muscle again. But for this time, it was like, I could make that switch of like, I need it. I need to gain muscle. I need to be strong. Yes, my jeans might fit a little tighter, but it's good. It's like a healthy gain. And so I don't think I would have, I definitely didn't make that switch throughout college and that mental mindset. And I think just knowing what's coming and knowing it's positive for your body is such a huge weight lifted off your shoulders mentally.
Yeah. When I was a freshman, I struggled a lot the opposite way. Like, yeah, you have all the freedom in the world. You can go to Chipotle every meal if you want. You can go to D-Hall and it's unlimited. And so I was just like, oh, like it's fine. And I'm lifting. And then I came home and I was like, hi. And my family's like, oh, you look like strong. And I'm like, is it strong or is it unhealthy? Like, and so I had to like reevaluate myself. And it was like, yes, I was gaining muscle, but also like you said in the very beginning, like I kind of was like, you know, going a little crazy too. But then when I tore my ACL, and I feel so bad for anyone who listens to this every single podcast, I'm like, well, when I tore my ACL, okay, like we get it, you tore your ACL. But I learned so much in that time frame that it really does go back to that almost every time. But when I tore my ACL, I kind of thought the same way. I was like, oh, I'm not playing, I'm not lifting, I should not be eating any, like I should just limit what I eat and I should wake up every day and I should do 100 ab, like crunch, like workouts, whatever it looked like. And I liked how I looked at the time because I was like skinny and I was small and I was petite and I was like, I've never looked like this before. But then like the number on the scale, I was like, oh, that's great. That was not normal. Like it was not a good number for me. I haven't been that number probably since like seventh grade. Mm-hmm. Like it's not normal. And it took a while for me to like kind of be like, okay, wait, you need to fuel your body because it needs that like energy, even just to recover. So then as I got like through my recovery process and I started lifting again and I started putting on that weight and I started seeing a difference. And I just remembered, like, it brought me back to, okay, like you are an athlete and this is what your body's made to do. And like, you should praise it with good food and nice, like water, sleep, all that stuff. But it did take me a while after the first few months when I was like very small, but it was because my leg had no muscle on it. And I was doing so many crunches a day and I was limiting what I was eating and that's not healthy. So it was like two extremes from freshman year to ACL Liz. And again, like I took post ACL Liz with, you know, workouts. And then I remember I came back this fall and I was lifting and I was eating well. And I felt the strongest. I told my coaches that I felt in forever, like the longest I can remember. And that came from just that back, like that reassurance, knowing that that food is fueling me and that it's important and I need it. Just that relationship shift with it. So I like that, like you're so open and able to talk about it, because I think it's something that most of the times it's behind closed doors and people just need to hear it. A lot of times like it's a defense thing and people start to get defensive, but I think just allowing yourself to be vulnerable and knowing that there's so many people that go through it. I love that you were able to talk and speak on that.
Thank you. Yeah. It's pretty amazing when you think like finally start talking about it and you realize how many other people were going through it. And, you know, I've had teammates, I've had friends who have gone through it too. And I think if we'd all just opened up and talked to each other about it, I don't know if we all would have gone through it as long or at all. And, you know, it's such a tough thing, especially when so much of what young girls and we see is not tailored to athletes and it's not tailored to an athletic body or an athletic build. And, you know, like I'm sitting here wondering like, what are wedding dresses going to look like on me? Because I do not have, you know, the hourglass, like I have abs and a butt and like nose. And, I think the more that young girls can just see, and young guys too, because guys go through the same thing. The more they can just see that their role models have actually gone through the same thing, if not worse, you know, it just kind of releases that stigma. And it also just creates much more dialogue, which had I been talking about this when it was actually going on, I would have gotten help a lot sooner. And I also would have known, you know, that people like my parents and my family, and my friends don't care if I'm a size zero or a size, seven, eight, whatever, like they don't give a crap. And so I think just having heard that would have been awesome, but they didn't know anything was going on until it was too late. And I was already, you know, down the spiral that.
Yeah. That's like my biggest thing is people are going to love you for you, no matter what size you are. I don't know who needs to hear this, but there's someone, if you're going out and like not eating to please, whether it's a boy or a girl, that's no, like someone out there is going to love you no matter what size you're wearing. And that takes me to my next point about you and Greg and how you got to, you guys met at Maryland, right? So so that takes me to that point that he loved you for you and got rid of that other relationship. And then let's talk about you and Greg now that you're engaged.
So, I mean, we met in college. He was a transfer from Virginia and I met him my junior year and his repeat junior year, I guess you could say. And, you know, it was funny. I remember Kathy and Tillman talking in the office and Kathy apparently told him like, don't have Greg mess with her this season. Like we need her. And it's just funny to like, look back, like Heather, our academic advisor actually like claims she set us up, which
I think she still says that.
But she definitely like picked him out for me. I was like, oh, you should talk to him. And I was like, oh, I already am. Like, thanks. But it's just like funny thinking back, like we've grown so much as people and as adults and players. And I think, you know, had we met earlier on, I don't know if, you know, we would, either of us were ready for, you know, a relationship like that, but we met at a good time and almost and a half years later, we're still together and just got engaged.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, I said the same thing the other day, like, I don't know about, but like to my boyfriend when I was like, honestly, if we would have met like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, like, yeah, we weren't ready for like a, like anything like this. Like, I don't know. It's just such a maturity thing. So like, I really believe everything happens for a reason. And was it not Ben's corner? It had to be.
Great things happen. It's home to many relationships.
Yes, great things happen in that Ben's corner. So you guys, where did you guys get engaged? What's your plans?
We got engaged. We live right in Eldersburg in Carroll County, and we walk our dog around the reservoir all the time. It's pretty much right in our backyard. And it was just him and I and our dog and, you know, freezing cold walk. And it was perfect. And then we were able to catch up with some of our friends afterwards, socially distanced and whatnot. Great. And now we're planning, you know, a wedding, which is insane right now. And it's going to be, you know, in the fall of 22. So after World Cup and everything's done, we'll be able to kind of celebrate.
So it's still kind of, you got some time.
Oh yeah. Pretty new. So we've got, you know, a lot to figure out, but we also got a lot of time. So,
oh my gosh, that's literally so exciting. I feel like so many people have gotten engaged over quarantine and like COVID. I say COVID time, but like COVID time has been going on for like
a year.
So it's like a long time. But that's literally so exciting.
Thank you.
Speaking of COVID, I feel like you never get lazy. You never get tired. Your workouts are insane. But I feel like over COVID, everyone's gotten like lazy days, tired days where like this routine and training on your own is really tough. A lot of people would love to know how you stay motivated and how you stay in a routine during this like COVID horrible time.
So I think the thing that has saved me from COVID is having a routine, like during COVID is having a routine. And I'm somebody who like my routine drastically changed, you know, mid-March, just like everyone, but having a routine even through quarantine and whatnot has been super key. So for me, I'm somebody who likes to work out in the morning. I like to kickstart my day with it. So getting up, you know, not getting caught, obviously, you know, if I need to sleep in and whatnot, I'm exhausted, I will, but I try really hard, you know, Monday through Friday to get up around like 5:15 or so. And get my day going, start my day with a workout, which is like my me time now. So it's that way, you know, if I'm don't move off the couch from, you know, 8 o'clock on, at least I've done something to, you know, better my body, better my mind, you know, feel good. And I think for me, you know, in terms of what motivates me, and it's something you'll come to realize once you graduate, is you get so like, we never are together. Like out of in 2021, we'll have 11 days as a US team together and that's it. And so much of, I don't know that percentage, but most of our time is spent training alone. And it's something that had COVID happened in 2016, I would have really struggled with, because I was so used to having teammates to lift with and run with and play with. And now that, you know, I've graduated, I'm so used to doing it alone. Not much really changed for me other than not being able to go to the gym. But my motivation has always stayed the same, as which is I work out and I train hard for my teammates so that when we get to whatever field we're on for those 11 days, we can just play and we can focus on X's and O's and strategy and whatnot, and not fitness, and not, you know, has Taylor touched a stick in 180 days, you know? And so I think for me, like, that's who I work out with, whether they're there or not. And I know, like, when I'm in my basement running at 5:30 in the morning, that Marie McCool is doing the same thing where she is, and Kayla Trainer is doing the same thing where she is. So you just, you rely on your team, even if you're apart. And now we've all been apart, so we've all kind of had to get creative with how we do it. But I mean, there are definitely days, even this past winter, I took 3 weeks off kind of between Christmas and early January, where I felt like I was getting run down. I felt like I was training for nothing. And like, I wasn't excited to train. I wasn't feeling like I was getting things out of it. And frankly, exhausted. And Jay, my trainer, was like, let's cut you by 50%. Let's cut out running. let's get some like rowing in and bike in. Cause like, I'm not going to not work out for 3 weeks. That's just not me.
But
cutting it back and just kind of taking a break and a reset was super helpful for me mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. So it's just all about balance and like knowing your body and, kind of having to force yourself to potentially not rely on, you know, I used to run next to Zoe Stukenberg.
Yeah.
And I would push each other the entire
time. Literally push each other sometimes.
But, you know, now that I don't have her, you've got to kind of do it mentally.
Yeah. When COVID first hit, and it was just supposed to be a few weeks and we were all working out, and then like we'd pop up Zoom and we'd all like do our HIIT workouts over Zoom, and then a few weeks turned into a few months. And now we all know, like, it's, I think it's really important what you said about you felt run down, you felt tired, and you felt stuck a little bit. That if you need a break, take a break. And obviously, like you said, it's not in you to completely stop, which is fine. But the same way, like if it is in someone to completely stop, and if someone doesn't want to do anything for 3 weeks, I think as athletes, we forget a lot of times, like, oh my gosh, I can't, I have to be doing something every single day, which again, if you want to do something every day, do it. But if you're feeling stuck and if you're feeling slow and not liking what you're doing, and especially over COVID when, you know, it's not normal routine for people who are still part of a team every day, then take a day and take some time to yourself. And a lot of athletes just kind of forget about that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a tough balance because like for you guys, especially, and for us now, like you have things that you're playing for. And so you feel like if you take a day off, you're, you know, one day behind training for UNC or whatnot. And so I think the thing that I've learned, especially after graduating, that I still suck at, but I'm trying to get better at, is like rest is sometimes just as important to your performance as training. And it's just about kind of finding that balance and what works for you.
Yeah. I was talking the other day at practice. Someone was like, who's next on the lineup? And I was like, well, I'm talking to Taylor this week. And they were like, okay, you need to ask her her routine after college. How does she stay in shape? How does she get motivated? And I think that that's perfect. Like, you nailed it. So I'm not going to name names, but I know they're listening and I know they're so excited to hear that. And I'm sure there's so many other people who are just as excited and needed to hear that too. So that's helpful. Okay. So we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I want to hear more about like Taylor in college versus Taylor post-college. Workouts aside, just kind of like you as a person, your self-esteem, you're obviously, we talked a little bit about your body image, but just maybe your transition. I know now you're coaching. How has that impacted you just as a person?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the first to say, and most, I'd say 99% of the people who go through Maryland, especially, come out realizing that they just had the best 4 years of your life. And when I graduated, I was lost and I didn't know what I was going to do. And to not have a set team for the first time in like 15 years, 16 years at that point. And for anything, like I'd played soccer since I was five.
Right.
And so for me, it was about figuring out what I wanted to do next. And I wanted to combine my finance degree and my love of sports, which is where I got my business, where I did like camps and clinics all over. And, you know, then it morphed into adding on McDonough and coaching. And so I do a lot of things, but I think for me, the biggest change I saw maybe during college and now is just how even, you know, junior, senior year, I was pretty secure in who I was battling other demons, but I felt pretty good about who I was and the people I was around. And then, you know, I think as I've gotten older, I am very secure with who I am and what my beliefs are and the kind of coach I want to be, the kind of teammate I want to be, the friend, the daughter. And I think that has just come from experiences of being in the work world and working with younger kids and realizing, you know, learning from Kathy and realizing that the things that we think are so big in the moment are really not. Like the person who doesn't come to the pregame that we used to get all angry about doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no.
And
so, honestly, like people are going to judge you whether you go or you don't go, whether you are the craziest one there or you're in bed by 8. Like people are going to judge you. So yeah, just doing what you want to do is huge, especially like in this age.
Exactly. And, you know, I think like just being your authentic self. And for me, I think social media has been really helpful for that because that's been my kind of way to not only show my brand and who I am, but to truly be me and to share, you know, my views on politics and female athletics and, you know, stigmas like mental health and eating disorders and whatnot. And just being able to have a space, you know, for the public to see that is a true reflection of who I am, I think has been super helpful. And, you know, I think for me, looking back, I think I've just, as I've gotten older, I've gotten more confident in who I am and unapologetically so. You know, this is who I am. This is what makes me happy during the week. You know, I'm going to go to bed early and I'm going to wake up early. And then, you know, I think just not having to answer to anyone and just be yourself, I think, is the most freeing thing about, you know, getting older.
Social media is one of those things where it can go one of two ways so drastically. And I used to kind of just be like, well, I'm just going to kind of keep myself off social media. Like there's just not really, you know, a need for me to be throwing all my information out there, but it's such a powerful thing in the best way. Like I know Marilyn shared this article that like, it was about mental health. And I got so many replies, just like great things. Girls were like, I needed this. Like I wanted to hear this. I'm struggling with the same thing. So having that platform, and you know better than anyone, that platform allows you to just reach people a way that we were just not able to do before. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so, so important that we use that platform and we use our voice in a way that's empowering young girls and that's motivating the people around us and bringing people up. And I think you do such a great job of that. And also like, just like the small, like advertising that you can like do through Instagram or like any kind of social media platform, it's just changed the game so drastically. And I think you did a great job again right out of college, just jumping on that. I know you said you felt lost, but didn't seem like it to the outside eye. Like you jumped on it, you advertised yourself with Taylor Cummings Across, and you spoke out for like young girls and what you believed in. And I think that a lot of people could learn from that, because too often nowadays like social media is just a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. But people like you like just remind me that like, okay, it can be used as like a platform in the best way possible.
Absolutely. And I think something that I learned, like, because social media and marketing and media in general, like, played a huge role in, you know, what was going on my junior year and terms of, like, being able to see myself. And I think what's really important is like, take a look at who you're following and take a look at what's coming across your feed, because if it's not authentic, if it's not helping you, if it's not inspiring you, if it's making you feel horrible about yourself, there's a really easy way to get rid of that.
Yeah. And
to unfollow or delete or whatnot. And I also think like, while social media is awesome and I use it to a point, like those in-person connections and relationships are so important. And to like, I strive like my to like, I so encourage my high school kids and you guys in college, like get off your phones. Like, get away from the photos and whatnot and the pictures, because like Greg hates photos and he's like, I don't want, like, yes, I love to have documentation of what happened, but like, I just want to live it. And I just want to live in the moment. And so that's something that I've learned from him. And it's kind of a hard balance for us because of, you know, who we are and what we do, but like finding that balance, even with social, to yes, use it to inspire and to be yourself, but also like, make sure you're with the people that you love and experiencing things, not for your fun social media posts, but because you really enjoy it.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than when you're like with someone and you're talking to them and they're like on their phone and you like don't like get a reply. And it's like so uncomfortable. Yeah. Honestly, one of my pet peeves, but yeah, just being in the moment is so huge. And also I think just taking everything you see with a grain of salt, I think a lot of times like young girls, especially whatever, like you're saying, whatever makes you happy, that should be on your feed. And I know I went through like, I go, every time I get on Instagram, I honestly just like unfollow. Nothing against people on Instagram, but it's just like, if it's not, like making me happy or if it's not something I enjoy, like now I just honestly follow like food. It's like literally like food and like home decor. Like I follow all these like renovation things and I love it because it's like actually what I want to look at. But I think a lot of times it's easy to get consumed in things that, and I'm guilty of it too. Like going through and just like stalking people and like getting lost in that like horrible cycle. So I'm guilty of it too, but I think just making sure that we're following what we want to follow and what brings us joy is important.
Yeah. I think I actually watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
Oh my gosh, that was so good.
And that prompted me to put like a, I think it's 90 minute timer on all my social medias for each day. And oh, that has smart. Been super helpful just so that I don't get sucked into my phone and I can, you know, do what I need to do for business and for pleasure on there. And then like, that's it.
Yeah.
So I think that was super, super helpful for me.
Yeah. That Netflix documentary opened my eyes to so many things. I was like rattled after watching. I told every single person, like nobody was asking. And I was like, watch The Social Dilemma. It was crazy.
Yeah. It was insane.
Okay. So what I asked everyone that's on the podcast, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever gotten? It's such a, like a vague question, but.
Yeah. Trying to think. I mean, I think the best piece of advice I ever got was from my dad. So he had chronic fatigue in college. He played soccer in college and basically slept his junior year for 20 hours a day. He just like had run himself into a wall and then got chronic fatigue and literally went up, got up to like go to the bathroom or eat food, but like couldn't walk, had to crawl, like slept the entire time.
Wow.
And he, you know, as I was going through college or getting ready to go to college, he was like, you know, you only get four years to do something you love. And so to make the most of it and not waste any second. And, you know, I think that applied to college, but it also applies to everything you do. We only get one life and we only get one opportunity to do things, you know, in this lifetime and to not waste it. And so, you know, there are moments there are so many moments in college that I wish I didn't waste. And I wish, you know, I would run 1,000 run tests to be able to go
you
back.
You can take my spot. Tell Kathy to take my spot.
To go back and be able to play. And, you know, I run tournaments now. I'm like, I would do anything to go back to club lacrosse and go play a tournament or
in that like 100 degrees with like one granola bar. Exactly. Like you were living the dream.
And you'd come home and like sit in the bathtub.
Yeah,
after
eat like six Chipotle bowls.
And you know, like there's so many, like I would do anything to go back to last Labor Day where all of my family and friends were at, you know, our lake house. Like there are so many things I would want to do over and you can't. So to just make the most of it while you're there, because while I wish I could go back, I know that I had the best time in school. I had the best time at club, with club, you know, the best time that weekend. And so I really, you know, just encourage you and everyone to really just remain present in the moment. And it's tough for me, especially because I'm such a planner and I'm always looking ahead. But I think that's something that my dad said that I've really, especially as I've gotten older, I've tried to, to listen to.
That's great. And I think that goes for like you're saying club, like sometimes club is not like all the fan, like it's not all fun and games. Like sometimes club is, it's exhausting and it's long days in the heat and it's, or it's in long days in the cold. Like you, it's easy to get lost in that. Like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be here. Or even like me at practice, like lining up for the run test. Sometimes Kathy literally called me out on it. If she's listening to this, she will tell you, she called me out on it when she told us to run the run test in the fall. Apparently my face just went like it was just bad. Yep. And she was like, stop looking at me like I'm crazy. Like you guys are running. So it was just like that moment of like being like, wait, okay. Like, let's just run the run test. Like, because there will come a time when I'm not running the run test next to my best friends, or there will come a time when I'm not spending all day in the heat, but like, it's so fun. But it's true outside of sport. It's just as important just to be where your feet are and to take those moments in. And whether it looks like a picture on Instagram, whether you snap a picture and you post it, or you just simply take in that moment. I think that's a really, really good piece of advice that a lot of people need to hear. And also just like doing like what makes you happy and then being in that moment that makes you happy, no matter what it looks like. Taylor, this was so awesome. You are so full of wisdom. And I think so many people are going to learn so much from you. And I'm really, really happy you sat down with me.
Thanks so much for having me, Lizzie. I can't wait to cheer you guys on this spring and watch you do amazing things. It's so good to know you're going to be playing again, because I remember when you did tear it, and to see how far you've come and to have another opportunity. I can't wait to watch you.
Thank you, Taylor.
See you, Liz.